This week on Foot Weekly.
Prices plummet amid lunar lunacy.
We have a super quick chat with YouTube's Ed James FIFA.
Orange is the new black. Not the US presidency, but a whole load of Man of the Match cards.
The end of Match Search Simulator 17. Our thoughts on a new era of foot champions.
As always, we talk through the team of the week, player of the week, and informed impressions.
Hello and welcome to week 20 of Foot Weekly. I'm here with Horace as always.
Hello.
And I'm Ben. And this week we've got something a little bit special, something a little bit different. We have a FIFA legend, a YouTuber. His name is Air Japes FIFA. And he's going to be joining us for some quick fire questions. And we're pretty excited about that. So you can catch that later on in the episode, ahead of him joining us for a longer segment next week.
Yeah. As well as that, we're going to have some in-depth market chat with Jamie, the Foot Economist.
But before that, we're going to have a quick chat about what's been going on since the last pod. Obviously, we've had a few big patches over the last couple of weeks, but that doesn't seem to be the case this week.
Yeah, it's been a thing the last couple of weeks. We've had a new patch to fix various issues with the game. We had all the stuff with the no-loss glitch, the disconnect glitch, or sort of forced disconnect glitch. Also, some chat about a coin glitch that we might come onto in a minute. And EA seemingly think they have minimized or at least kind of countered these glitches sufficiently that they did go ahead with the weekend league. Because obviously 2 weeks ago it was cancelled and they didn't officially say that this weekend league wasn't going to be cancelled. It was just that it went ahead as usual. Yeah. People were still kind of wondering almost right up until 7 a.m. UK time, whether or not it might get cancelled. I mean, by that point, it was pretty certain it was going to go ahead. But certainly the evening before, there was a lot of queries, because they only gave us sort of, what, just over 12 hours notice when they did cancel it.
Exactly.
But no, it went ahead. I did still see people on Twitter suggesting they had been glitched on, been forced out of games. Did that happen to you at all?
So yeah, it was quite a frustrating point. I'm not sure whether it was the glitch, but 23 wins I had, two games remaining, so win both, I get gold one, wham bam, red gold players pack, all that jazz on the way. But unfortunately, I was winning, the guy goes AFK, so he wasn't controlling his players, and then I got a disconnect. But I think that does occasionally happen where people pull the internet out or whatever, and it just, EA's servers mess up and you get kicked as well.
Yeah.
So you can't guarantee it, but
seems to be maybe it was almost just bad luck.
Could have been bad luck, yeah.
So my one, I had one disconnect over the course of the weekend, and I was 4-1 up in the 90th minute. I mean, kind of the extra time had just been declared, so I was about 15, 20 seconds away from getting the win, and suddenly out of nowhere got a disconnect. The guy hadn't paused. I think he had just regained possession, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Again, at the time I was pissed off and wanted to blame the guy and be like, oh, this guy's glitched me. He's cheated me out of a win. But it could equally have just been coincidence, been bad luck.
So the other thing about this weekend was that actually the first weekend that we had the changes to the way that matchmaking works.
Yeah, so didn't have club name, didn't have badges, and most significantly, didn't have club foundation date.
Well, and interestingly though, you could see the badge, so it seemed totally pointless on the screen after.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can still quit out on the screen after, you know, when it goes into the bit where you can make team management changes.
Yeah, maybe it was that the easiest way to remove the club foundation date on the previous screen was just to remove all club information. So that might have just been like the quickest workaround they could get. I don't know. Depends how it's coded. But I mean, that's my guess on that. Because to be honest, the club badge identity, that's probably a less significant thing than kits. And you have to be able to see kits in order not to get kit clashes all the time. So I'm not so fussed about that. But yeah, we did away with club foundation dates. And I did performed, I think, exactly the same as I normally do when I play all 40 games, which was I got gold one. One of the other times I've played all 40, I got 26 wins, which this time I got exactly 25. So maybe that implies I did marginally worse without this, because I would have benefited slightly from the foundation date thing, having had a 2015 foundation date. But it's quite hard to draw conclusions from one weekend league.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably draw slightly more conclusions because people were quitting out against me because of my foundation date being 2011. But the thing is, slightly frustrating is I had like another terrible week for lag. I had about 10 games over the weekend league that had lag so bad that it was affecting the gameplay, and another 10 which had lag in some capacity.
Yeah.
So it was pretty horrible and kind of frustrating in that sense. But I did feel like the quality of opponents that I played in general were actually not quite on the level of previous weeks, because presumably people weren't quitting out against me. And it was so much better being able to sort of pick a game purely based on latency, which must have helped to an extent, although maybe not that much, rather than, you know, having to pick it because someone will eventually play you.
Yeah, yeah, rather than, I guess, in your situation where you have an early had an early foundation date, you were more inclined to just accept any match where the opponent is willing to go in, and so maybe you take lower latency games more often.
And I mean, it was definitely true that I was just generally playing against more experienced players, because most of the people I was playing with before 2012 established date.
Yeah, and I mean, the change to the latency bar, it being 5 rather than 3 kind of points of detail, I suppose it allows you, I think we said this last week, it means you can tell more precisely how strong the connection is, but it doesn't actually affect how good a connection you're likely to get. Yeah. So I found mostly just accepting 4-bar connections because I would have to wait kind of 5 minutes, maybe longer, to get a solid five bar connection. Mm. Like, it was very rare that came up. So it was just, I guess, making me more aware of when my connection might not be brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it probably did mean I had better connections on average in the games I played, because if it was something that was flickering between 3 and 4 bars, that might have just displayed as a solid 3-bar previously. Yeah. Like, you don't know.
Because the thing is, I didn't find a huge amount of difference between 4 and 5 bar.
Yeah.
I had a few pretty laggy games on 5. The problem is that most of the times I had lag were when plenty of people in my house were using the internet.
So it
was at my end. And I'm fortunately, which bit of a hallelujah moment, is that I'm getting fiber hopefully next week, which will increase my speed from 5 megs to, it's like 65, hopefully,
cool,
which would be crazy. So cool. that could make a significant difference. So that'll be interesting to see, and that'll be the true acid test.
Okay. Fully expecting you to get Elite 2, at least, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
time,
considering the amount of losses I've been blaming on it, I've significantly improve otherwise. Yeah, that won't have been justified.
Yeah, but I mean, it was an all right weekend league in the end.
I can't have any complaints.
Fine.
But I was 3 off monthly
elite
again. So yeah,
nightmare. And I mean, outside of the weekend league, there was also there were quite a lot of pack offers going on over this weekend.
Yeah.
We had the Lunar New Year, where they released an SBC right at the start, where you got a kind of cool team of the week kit, and also everyone got a red Lunar New Year kit and a free pack based on how many days they'd logged in since FIFA 17 was released. We both got the top reward, which I don't know whether that's sad or good. You got an ultimate pack having logged in. I think you could have logged in, it was kind of companion app, web app will count as well.
Because I definitely haven't logged in on the console every day, but I probably
definitely not
hopped on the web app or whatever.
And it wasn't every day since release that you had to have done it, but it was kind of 80% of the days,
I think.
So it's quite a lot. And that got you an ultimate pack, which paid off for both of us, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. Packed best player, Xiao Mario,
yeah. So if you'd held on to that.
If I'd held on to that to this week, obviously would have got his info.
Sometimes.
So that was pretty pathetic. I mean, how many players were there in there that were rare?
Like, it's 30 gold rare players for the top reward. I got Javi Martinez, the Bayern centre-back. Solid 84 rated, 54 pace centre-back. And of course, these cards are untradeable.
Yeah.
So basically, I stored everything in my club. I had a whole load of...
SBC purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not terrible, yeah.
I had a whole load of duplicates of basically trash players who probably won't even be worth it for SBCs. So I just stored the non-tradables in my club and quick-sold a lot of the tradable versions that I already had.
Well, it's funny because obviously we both had those packs, and that really nicely put me off opening the Lunar pack offers.
Yeah,
I was just like, no, definitely not. This is never going to be worth it, considering I got 30 rare players and the best thing I got was Xiao Mario. I mean, my luck is unlikely to improve.
Yeah, and I mean, so they had a whole load of pack offers and lightning rounds where the FIFA point cost for the packs was standard, but the coin cost was halved.
Yeah.
To basically attract people to buy them with coins. And we're going to talk in a lot more detail about that whole thing and its impact on the market with Jamie in a little bit.
Yeah, the Foot Economist.
But I opened one pack and just about broke even on it. But...
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. It wasn't, I don't think they're worth it at all. Whenever you buy packs with coins, it's never really good value, is it?
Yeah. And I mean, the other disappointing thing with the Lunar New Year was there was kind of a big sense of anticipation in the community. A lot of people were expecting some kind of big other SBC. I mean, even from EA's communications, they'd said expect like pack offers, a free gift, and SBCs, and they pluralized them. And we only got one, unless they're counting marquee matchups as like some special Lunar New Year one, which they definitely weren't. So that was a bit disappointing. Maybe they thought the market had responded how they wanted sufficiently, and they didn't want
to
risk throwing a spanner in the works with like a high requirement SBC. I imagine they will be relatively reluctant to throw any kind of huge SBCs at the market unless things are going dramatically wrong in the market, if that makes sense. Because if the market is in a sort of point of equilibrium, isn't crashing or spiking hard, then they might think that's sort of what we want. It means that people can work towards earning the coins to make the players they want without the risk of a sudden market crash.
Yeah, but there's this other argument at the moment that the market's getting quite low. Prices are dropping a lot, which we'll again talk more to Jamie about. But the thing is, it's kind of not really encouraging the opening of packs, I don't think. The fact that these player prices are so low, many sort of standard rare gold players that are people use a lot are quite significantly lower than they ever have been. And that doesn't encourage people to open packs or want to do SBCs or do those kind of things. So I think that surely at some point we're going to have to see a kind of rebalancing to increase prices to an extent, because they're getting quite low and we're almost heading towards what we've had in previous years, apart from the very elite players where there will always be a demand for the weekend league.
But I mean, your point about it lowering the interest in opening packs really is true, because we've seen a sort of mini market crash over the weekend with these Lunar pack offers, and the market has been very low for the last week after a pretty significant spike following Team of the Year. And a lot of the kind of mid-range players have really plummeted, or players who are maybe high overall but relatively low demands, sort of high-rated centre-backs like Diego Godin or someone who's an 88-rated card. He was going for kind of 7K, 6K at some point. Barzagli, I think you spotted, going ridiculously cheap. And those are the players that often can make opening packs worth it, because you're so unlikely to pack an elite player. You're kind of players who you might hope would be 15 to 20K that might kind of make people feel like they're more likely to get their money's worth.
You're like, wait, I've packed a valuable player, even though maybe you're still not, it's still not huge.
Yeah.
It feels like something, whereas now it's like, Barzagli was 6K or something. That doesn't really feel that significant when you pack him. So I feel like there's got to be some rebalancing. But I mean, why don't we have a chat to the Foot Economist and find out what he thinks.
Yeah, let's see what Jamie's got to say on this.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. And it's been a pretty hectic week market-wise. There's been a lot of fluctuations. What are your kind of thoughts on what's caused that primarily?
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, there's a number of things that have sort of caused it. I guess we can sort of narrow it down to three of them. The first of which was the coin glitch, coin farm, whatever you want to call it, that we sort of saw resurge itself back from previous FIFAs. If you go look at the leaderboards right now for the top 100 weekly earnings, for match earnings, you can see that a lot of people have made several hundred thousand coins by playing thousands of games with zero wins and like 1,000 ties and 1,000 losses. So, people that sort of pushed up the prices of the or pushed down the prices of coins on coin buying sites. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have turned around and bought coins and then put those to high demand players, which has pushed the prices of them up. That was quickly countered by EA, whether they did it intentionally or not. They were able to sort of balance those prices out by the Lunar New Year promos, and then the half price coin packs that they did. And effectively what that did is that took buying power off the market, because when you trade in coins, obviously you don't have coins to go ahead and buy players. And then obviously you got less value almost every time out of those coin packs. So that just put a higher supply, and supply outpaced demand. And then we got prices fall. And then we also had the huge man of the match drop with the likes of Sun and Walcott and Torre. And a lot of people were liquidating their clubs in the hopes of getting the chance to buy those guys, or even snipe Sun, who is, I think, undervalued at 300K with his max price.
Yeah. For sure.
So yeah, it was an interesting week.
And also the other thing that was quite interesting is that, I mean, prices of certain players, for example, people like, I was noticing Miranda, Barzagli, so the cheapest 86 rated players dropped had dropped to sort of 6K, whereas the previous lowest had been, I think, 9, or just under 9. So it wasn't just that they balanced the market. I think in some ways they'd actually sent it the other way.
We almost saw a bit of a crash over the weekend with the... with the Lunar New Year, kind of the, it was the biggest coin sync they've ever implemented.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was the first, well, that's definitely the biggest discount I think they've given on coin packs, we thought.
Yeah, we were trying to remember if there's ever been discounts on packs before like that.
I think they've done discounts in Lunar New Year past, like in past Lunar New Year promotions. I'm not sure if it was a half off discount. I could be wrong on that though.
And do you think that was purely fueled by the coin glitch, or do you think they would have done that anyway?
I mean, I think they've done it in years past. I think it was sort of a happy coincidence that it just so happened to be a perfect thing to help balance the market.
Yeah.
But I think the guys at EA will take credit for it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a pretty remarkably swift response from them, given their normal response times to these sorts of things.
Right, yeah.
getting something out within like a couple of days that almost perfectly counters it. Which was quite interesting. In terms of that being a sort of tool for controlling the market, EA will probably learn from this and be quite aware that they can massively decrease the amount of coins on the market by doing attractive enough offers. But a bit like with the Team of the Week packs, the first time those came out, there was kind of massive interest and massive hype around them. And that's maybe declined slightly each subsequent time they've come out. Do you think we might see a similar thing if EA tried to kind of do discounted coin packs too often?
That's definitely possible. Honestly, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I mean, if they, I mean, by the looks of things, they haven't been able to figure out whatever glitch these guys are using to harvest or farm these coins. And if they do try to do something similar to this in the future, I think a lot of people basically did sort of experiments where they would open up, you know, 15 of the half price 50K packs and 15 of the half price 100K packs. And virtually every single time, unless they got incredibly lucky, they lost coins. And a lot of the big influencers were picking up these tweets and retweeting them. So I think a lot of people saw that, you know, they were largely, you know, you might as well just burn your coins. Like if you want to go for these packs, they're just not efficient. They're not good ways to make coins. So to your point, I do think there'd be less interest in that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I opened up one, what would have been a 50K pack, but for 25K, and I got the inform Hakan Çalhanoğlu or whatever. So he's an 85 inform. And I had a, did a quick compare price on him because I wasn't actually sure what he was going at. And the first few I saw were selling for like 30, 40K by now. And then I actually realized that his lowest buy now was 17K or something. So last week's team of the week absolutely plummeted in value. And so even though I got an 85 rated inform on a half price 50K pack, I barely broke even. Exactly. So it was, I think they were, it kind of goes to show just how poor value packs are for coins at regular price.
Like, I mean, regular price is crazy, isn't it?
Right,
And also, I think the interesting thing about what we've seen happen is, well, and your point about, you know, is this actually something that they can implement again? I bet they could, but it would have to be in a year's time, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
So by Lunar New Year next year, people will be well up for it again.
let people forget.
Yeah, but I feel like you're probably right that they wouldn't. I don't think they'd do it anytime soon anyway.
Hmm. So in terms of the big releases this week, we've already kind of spoken a little bit about the Man of the Match cards. You mentioned, I think, Son, Walcott and Yaya Toure, and we're probably going to expect to see the price range on Son increase. Do you think, or are there any other cards among that list that you kind of might identify as possible ones that could rise in value?
Yeah, so I mean, the obvious ones, like you said, just Son, Toure, and Walcott are sort of my three favorites, if you will, in terms of long-term organic growth investments. There are a bunch of them that, with the promos that are coming out later this week, and I think we're going to talk about those in a second, that are probably going to hit near discard price if they haven't hit them already. And we've seen in past SBCs that something like that, an investment like that, could be very valuable because there's virtually no chance of loss, and the only way it can go is up. The one other card of interest could be the Inform Muriel, the Calcio A, in terms of cheap sort of budget pace options up top. Aside from Niang and Gomez, is lacking a little bit, especially in terms of those two cards. They really can't finish so. In terms of long-term growth potential, he could be something to look at.
Yeah, I really think he could be quite strong. We'll talk about him when we do our rundown of the team of the week, but he's sort of 40K at the moment, which seems not bad, considering his pace, considering he's one of the better strikers in that league.
Well, being 81, like, is he's going to get packed a lot.
Isn't he 81? Yeah, of course. He started as
I wouldn't be surprised if he hits pretty much discard.
Really?
In spite of the demand for him. I think if they do big kind of lightning
rounds. Yeah, if there's a promotion, yeah.
But yeah, looking ahead to the big promos that we've got coming up this week that you mentioned, we had that huge leak from Sky Sports about the ones to watch. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Of course, yeah. That was certainly a big event. So Sky Sports essentially, they released on their Twitter, I think it was, a number of graphics that showed that there is going to be a new batch of One to Watch items. I'm assuming that they're going to be in, you know, related to the January transfer window or the winter transfer window, whatever you want to call it, and that they're going to have a new batch of them that's going to be released on the 3rd of February, so Friday, and the promotion is probably going to last, or is going to last until the 10th. They also said that there's going to be a chance at getting any of the One to Watch items in an SBC. And now, what's really interesting is they said any One to Watch item. Now, I'm not sure that they would go back and re-release all of the other One to Watch items, and in fact, I doubt that they would, but the chance is there because they did say any. So that could be really interesting. And one thing that I'm going to keep my eye out.
The only thing, sorry, just interrupt on that. Is it possible that there's going to be silvers and that therefore they need to say that it's any because it could be a silver or gold?
Yeah, it could be. That could be. I don't know. I really don't know. we won't know until they do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a stab in the dark because we obviously didn't have any silvers last time. So that's not necessarily the case. But maybe they have to cover the fact, you know, they'd normally say it's a gold item or whatever, so maybe it's a gold or silver, I don't know. That's only because these one-to-watch items don't look like they'd be especially inspiring, but it's possible they could sneak some good silvers in there.
Well, yeah, in terms of, so that's definitely, there's definitely like that big bit of ambiguity in that wording, sort of, is it any of these one-to-watch items or is it any one-to-watch item ever? And in terms, from what Ben just said, these don't, there aren't actually that many attractive cards in this set of ones to watch. We're assuming there's the Draxler, Depay, all the pies.
There's some decent ones, but we're not gonna see the likes of Pogba or Conte. I don't think we're gonna see any blockbusters like that. Sort of just rise like pretty much no matter what, because people are just constantly hoping that he gets an inform. But
yeah, and it's going to be interesting because obviously they've only got a certain window till, I don't know, team of the season.
we've got like 4 months still. It's a decent chunk of time, I'd say.
Yeah, that's true.
Though obviously, these one to watch items that are released in winter will have a much shorter window of time to get informs.
Overall, because it's almost half the amount of time. Are we over halfway through the Premier League season?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that, and they obviously can only really get them through their league matches.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the one to watch thing, there's also been that bit of code going around that it seems to be the confirmation of the one to watch pack. I feel like I've seen that doing the rounds for kind of at least a month, 2 months. I've not actually seen kind of where it's nominally from. Have you looked into at all kind of any sort of confirmation of whether that's legit or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that bit of code came from a bit of source code that was found by the guys over on Reddit, the detectives over on Reddit, I guess you could call them. In past, the SBCs that were linked from that bit of code, or that, actually it's not a bit, it's a huge sort of massive code, have come true. Like, the predictions have come true. What they say is going to be on it have come true, but not all of them. And this One to Watch one is actually one that hasn't come true yet. It was actually, the One to Watch was sort of, if you looked at it chronologically, and the rest of the SBCs made sense chronologically, they would come out like one after another, sort of going down the list. They skipped over the One to Watch one, and it was actually right before the Team of the Week 10, the Team of the Week 10 SBC, and they sort of skipped over that and then went to the Team of the Week 10 SBC. So I guess they skipped over it. I don't know if they're going to be bringing that one back in particular. It says in that SBC, that code, that you're going to get a One to Watch item and then three rares. I don't know if they're going to do that. Maybe they'll give you two One to Watch items. I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see. But if it, you know, just, you know, for hypothetical, you know, scenario, if they did do a 1/1 to watch item and then 3 rares, I would assume it would be sort of similar to a Team of the Week guaranteed pack, although a little bit higher. Like the requirements, so maybe you could see like an 85 or 86 overall, maybe a couple, throw a couple informs in there, and then maybe that would be the minimum requirements for it, but overall it'd probably be more expensive than the Team of the Week SPC.
And of course the requirements are tougher because of the fact that they fixed the bugs with the ratings levels
on exactly the changes, they made it so that in putting a higher rated player will always increase the value of the
exactly. So that could be interesting anyway.
I mean, looking ahead, maybe outside of the one to watch items, there's still quite a lot of potential stuff coming up this week. I know you release a calendar each month on Twitter with kind of significant events for that month. Is there anything else big coming up this week that you want to talk about?
So it's shaping up to be quite an eventful week coming up. We've got the likes of the African Cup of Nations ending on the 5th, and that could lead to a drop of a Team of the Tournament coming out that Sunday, or maybe even one that would accompany the Team of the Week on Wednesday. Tomorrow, the 3rd, we could see the, or if they follow patterns in the past, like in previous months, we're probably going to see the release of the voting for the Player of the Month. Which is likely going to feature a bunch of Spurs players, so Ali, Eriksen, and Kane, and then probably Coleman, and you know some other candidates. And that would, you know, because there's so many Spurs players, we're probably going to see the prices of Spurs type investments go up. Then the final one would be the league SBCs that could be coming out on Monday or Tuesday. There's rumors floating around that we'll see SBCs for that. In terms of investments for that, I've invested in pretty much any league that you can think of at this point. There are a lot of guys on Twitter that do a lot of really good legwork. An example of that is Gummy FIFA. He's actually gone through and looked at every single league and then has found the players in each position on each team that only has one card in the game for that league. If you really, if you want to invest in league SBCs, I think that's the way to do it. Instead of, if you don't want to do, if you don't want to take the time to do blanket investing in the entire league, you know, pick out the cards that are going to be isolated and, you know, likely will go extinct if there's a high enough demand for the actual SBC card. Yeah.
And we can pretty much say that it's the goal scorer, the highest goal scorer from the year before seems to be the player who gets it. That's correct, isn't it? Except, obviously, you'll notice that Ibrahimovic was the highest scorer for Liga, but it went to Lacazette because he was the second highest, so that would be the trend if the players are gone.
Yeah, got quite a good precedent for that. You were mentioning those players where they're kind of unique in their position in a certain club, in a certain league. Have their prices already started to rise quite a bit? Have people maybe missed the boat on a lot of those? Or do you think there's still profit to be made if people want to pick those up?
Yeah, so I mean, the boat has sort of sailed a little bit. If you are going to be investing, you're going to be late to the party. The one way that you can get in on a lot of them is through, if you're doing a silver investment, do not buy like on open bid, or you know, if the card has been up for a longer period of time, there's a good chance that you're not getting a good deal. I recommend going to FUTBIN and making sure that you're getting a decent deal. There's still a lot of opportunities to get snipes, because a lot of people just don't know the value of some of the cards that they're listing up. So if you're going to do that, I would stay away from golds as sort of a general rule, because they have a tougher time of rising when the SBC drops, and a lot of them have already, been pushed up. So I would stay away from golds, look for silvers on a snipe.
Perfect.
Great. And I think on that, seems a great place to wrap things up. I know you've got to get off to college because it's in the morning. And you've also writing an interesting article, which I'm sure if people follow you on Twitter, they'll see, which is @foot_economist.
Yep, it was good talking to you guys, as always. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you.
And look forward to talking to you guys again next week.
Yeah, and massive thanks, as always, to Jamie for coming on and giving us his insights. Moving on, Ben, you potentially, whilst reading one of Jamie's articles on ultimateteam.co.uk, stumbled across something else quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure, it may have been on their Twitter, Ultimate Team UK, but who we follow, and they basically have loads of foot articles. They draw in sources from various places. And one of them is an interesting article about ratings being inaccurate in FIFA 17. Well, more generally, I think FIFA overall, you can't really just say it's for this game because the way that ratings have been gathered over the years is pretty similar. Obviously, we'll link the article. But the way that ratings are calculated in FIFA is basically there's a team of, I don't know what they call them, sort of, I guess, data gatherers, but...
Yeah, data collectors or something like that.
You can, it's kind of called the EA Scouting Network, I think. I signed up for it many, many years ago just because I was intrigued to see what it was like. Pretended I had an in-depth knowledge of Serie B because at the time that was pretty much the only leagues they were interested in.
Some in-demand league.
Yeah. So obviously the point is that they have this team of people who collect the data. Presumably they have quite the top sort of scouts, if you like, are doing the big leagues to make sure those are really accurate. But the point is that in the lower leagues, especially in the various leagues of the English game, there are so many players. You think about all the reserves, all these individual sort of small teams in various countries where they probably won't be able to find anyone to attend the matches to properly analyse a player. I mean, if they would, the data would be worth millions of pounds and every football team in the country would be using it. So obviously that's not the case. But what this article is basically saying is that they basically fudge loads of ratings every year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how is a random data collector who's being paid sort of a flat 30 quid regardless of what ratings they return gonna distinguish between two roughly 50 rated teenage left backs at Accrington Stanley? I mean, it makes perfect sense that the ratings aren't going to be that precise the lower down you get. But it is interesting just to see it spelled out and just to get a bit of insight into the process by which the ratings are gathered. Like, I was aware of the scouting network, but sort of how many people are involved in that process. Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing.
It seems like there's a huge number of people who do it. But the other thing that we're saying is slightly frustrating is that as a sort of starting off data collector, a senior data collector can just overrule your rating.
Yeah, so it's saying that apparently people might return information or ratings that they think are appropriate for players. But then someone further up who hasn't ever seen that player play or doesn't necessarily know anything about it might think, no, that seems a bit off or that seems a bit high or even, I guess, probably on occasion that seems a bit low. So players might get sort of more of an impression mark than anything else.
And they probably have pressure from above, maybe even sort of saying, oh, we need like X number of 5-star skillers or weak foot players, you know, so that, you know, not every, because there's got to be some...
I don't think anyone high up at EA is trying to get more 5-star skillers into the game.
Well, they definitely have over the last few years, if anything, it's reduced, but whether they need to sort of make sure there's few enough that's a valued sort of thing, I suppose, makes the players
keep
more attractive.
Exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nobody would care for Masonda if he wasn't 5-star skills and 5-star weak foot, so those kind of things obviously do make a difference. But I mean, the whole rating system is quite interesting. It always frustrates me because every year you see sort of get people being like, oh, well, this player should be rated higher than this player and that player should be... But the whole thing's like based on stats and it's mathematically calculated. And then you've got the fact that you throw in, many people might not know this, but there's a thing called international reputation, which can add, I think, 3 or 4 overall points to a player.
Yeah.
So there's loads of stuff which people don't consider when thinking about these things. It's one of those things that you've got to take ratings with a pinch of salt, get into their in-game stats and look at that.
Yeah. Quite an interesting thing.
Yeah.
As Ben said, we'll link to it.
Props to ultimateteam.co.uk for finding that. And I think they've got the information from Dream Team FC, which is more of a football site, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, time for us to take a quick break, after which we'll talk through the team of the week, our informed impression, and player of the week. But before that, we'll have our quickfire chat with Japes. See you in a sec. So we're here with a very special guest, Japes. Japes, welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. You know, we've been watching your videos for quite a few years. Obviously, a relatively big cheese in the FIFA community.
maybe once upon a time.
Well, but okay. Not so maybe like a cheese that people are eating slightly less than they want to.
maybe a fine cheese that's doing some more aging, you know, sitting in the back.
Yeah. Aging well, though, I'm sure.
So
I thought this week we could kick off with just some quickfire questions. We'll hit you with, you've got 30 seconds. We've got a little list. And we'll go through them. So, are you ready now?
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's try it.
Favorite ever FIFA game?
FIFA 08.
Chip life or dirty talk?
Chip life.
5-star weak foot, 5-star skills?
5-star skills.
All-time favorite foot card?
Inform Gorkuf from FIFA 10.
Great job. Best formation.
3-4-2-1.
Sausage sandwich or bacon buddy?
I don't know what either of those are. We'll say sausage sandwich. I don't know.
That's time up. Nice one. Thanks for those.
So
a bacon buddy is just a bacon sandwich in the UK.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but I do like a, you know, we put brats and buns over here, sausage and buns, so that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you have, because bacon is obviously, you have sort of bacon obviously, but yeah. bacon butties maybe not so much.
Well, bacon over here is a little bit different. It's like thinner and crispier than what you guys do more, is more like a,
it's almost meaty. Like a ham.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
I've had the full English breakfast. I know it's up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that. We look forward to talking to you in a bit more depth next week. See you next time.
All right. Looking forward to it, guys. Take it easy.
Well, enjoyed that. Guaranteed his spot for next week there by saying 5-star skills over 5-star weak foot. Enjoyed that.
Yeah. Easy way to get into Ben's good books.
Indeed.
Well, shall we move straight on to Team of the Week chat?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, I mean, this Team of the Week, it's a bit of a disappointment compared to last week where we had all those like brilliant, brilliant players. Obviously, there's the 89 Robin, that's the second in form. There's 89 Chiellini also. On that Robin, moment of silence for my 88 red Foot Champions card. Sadly, no longer the best version. But outside of that, there's the Joel Mario inter card. Position change to centre attacking mid, quite nice.
Nice box-to-box player, potentially.
Yeah, he's got really solid all-round stats. Lars Stindl, the Gladbach striker, actually has really good defending for an attacking player at 70. So
yeah, especially for a striker, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think his regular card's a centre forward. So you can maybe look at playing him further back, or centre mid. I mean,
87 shooting on his card as well.
Yeah, there are some really nice stats there. Loic Perrin, the French centre back, who had an SBC card, and this one is kind of almost the same card. It's got slightly different stats. Looks decent, but he's a bit short. Though excellent on the ball, so one to bear in mind. Another Spanish centre-back, Alvaro, who is also quite short, unfortunately. He's 5'10", 5'11". He does have good jumping and decent pace. So he's maybe a budget choice. You're looking. Wesley Schneider with an 86 card, some phenomenal stats on there. 5-star weak foot, unbelievable long shots. So if you've got a Dutch team or a Turkish league team, he's definitely one to look at. Japanese centre-back, Hasebe, who looks pretty good. Though he's a converted centre defensive mid and a bit short.
Yeah, not in the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
Great conversions. But
One of the worst ever gold informed strikers I've seen in Sergi Enric. 63 pace, 78 dribbling, 80 shooting, and the in-game stats. He doesn't really have anything hidden that's brilliant. He's a bit short.
It's like, a bit ridiculous, really. Like, he's just so useless. Yeah. I mean, there are honestly going to be gold non-rares with better stats than that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. A silver to give a shout out to another Japanese player, actually Osako, the FC Köln striker, who has 76 pace, 81 dribbling, 80 shooting, 70 physical, 70 passing. Really nice all round stats, and 5-star weak foot,
which is really nice. Yeah, and in terms of the, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't mention Arsenal legend
Jose Antonio.
Yeah,
Reyes. Yeah, as a cam. He looks pretty good, though might be a bit sluggish. He's got pretty poor agility.
Yeah, that's true. I think actually looking at stats, he didn't look particularly amazing.
Yeah. He might be a bit average. But Ben, who do you want to take a closer look at to begin with?
Yeah, my pick this week is going to be an 81 rated striker who couldn't look more different from the other. He's Muriel, of course. I'm sure many of you have spotted him. Plays Sampdoria, Colombian, so strong link to Cuadrado. He's currently 40 to 50k. Maybe a bit more on PS, but I think he'll go down over the weekend. The thing about him is, you think of him as a nippy, he is a nippy player, you think of him as a dribbly player, but he's actually 5'11", and he also has 74 strength, so he can, you know, look after himself, in the words of Nigel Pearson. but what he's got about him is great pace, 89 acceleration, 92 sprint speed, and when you put sniper on him, his finishing is not great at 78, but when you put sniper on him, 93 finishing, which is very, very serviceable, pretty good actually, 92 positioning, already has 84 long shot, 84 shot power on the card and 76 long shots, so that'll probably do you. And then you've got 85 volleys as well, this is with sniper as I was saying. So then the dribbling stats is where he really stands out. He gets 99 dribbling with sniper. A bit of stat wastage on that, but that's all right. 94 ball control, very solid. 89 balance and 92 agility. So he's going to feel pretty nice on the ball with that 74 strength. Decent short passing as standard on the card as well with 78. Only disappointing thing perhaps for a fox-in-the-box striker is 76 reactions. But there are a number of ways you can kind of use Kentwich Styles to sort of change the card and bring out some of the stats depending where you're going to play him or how you're going to play him. I think he'd even work as a sort of wide cam in a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, a legendary card from a few years back when he was just like unbelievably overpowered, low rated gold. This card could be a return to those glory days. My card that I'm going to look at is Mateo Kovacic, another Croatian. I feel like there have been a lot of decent Croatian cards recently. He plays for Real Madrid, obviously, so hyperlink with Luka Modric. And he's not quite on Modric's level, but he's getting there. I'm just going to look at his stats actually with basic because he is relatively decent all round. One thing I noticed, he has incredibly high dribbling on card, but the base stat for his agility and balance are only 79 and 72. Mm-hmm. So he might actually feel a bit sluggish. So in terms of a more specific chem style you might want to use, you might want to look at something, probably not Sniper because it's such a big finishing boost and he's not necessarily going to be in the box that much.
Maybe like Artist or something.
Yeah, something that gives a boost to agility and balance. Definitely something to bear in mind. He has phenomenal vision and short passing, both over 90 by default. And pretty decent long shots and shot power at 80 and 86 by default.
Mm.
So, I mean, a really nice all-round card. I've always contemplated putting his non-inform into teams to get that link with Modric if I was wanting to use Modric because he's so good this year. And I feel like this inform could just give a little tip over the edge to Kovacic to make him actually kind of a competitive card. Because he is quick as well. He's kind of got 82 pace on card, though that's predominantly in acceleration. He's got mid-80s acceleration.
It's no bad thing for a midfielder,
high 70 sprint speed. Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be doing those long sprints. It's more about just beating a man and playing a pass. In terms of his price at the moment, he's hovering around mid-30s on Xbox, just over 40 on PlayStation. I think with almost all of these Team of the Week players, we're probably going to see them drop over the weekend, particularly if there are lots of promo packs. If we see... One to watch cards coming out on Friday. And we've already got these Man of the Match cards from the FA Cup. Speaking of which, should we take a look at them?
Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, we should have mentioned, actually, just before we move on, Kovacic and Muriel are both 4-star, 4-star, which is nice.
Always nice. Always nice. So, looking at these Man of the Match cards, there are three that obviously stand out in Heung-min Son, Theo Walcott and Yaya Toure. That Son card, as we were saying with Jamie, it's been extinct. Mostly his price range is currently max price 300k. That's definitely going to go up. He's got unbelievable stats. I used his left wing player of the month card. And with Hunter, you can pretty much max out his shooting stats and pace. And now with the striker, you can absolutely max out. You can get 99 acceleration, sprint speed, finishing, long shots and shot power. So, wow. I mean, with the boosted dribbling that this card's got, I think it's going to be a nightmare to play against. That Theo Walcott, also 97 pace by default, 87 dribbling, 87 shooting with some awesome in-games. And actually no longer weak, which his base card is. That's kind of how you can counter him. It's just by barging him off the ball, but no longer. Like, I really hope I don't have to play against that in pitch champs. And the Yaya Toure card's just, I mean, he's 77 pace, 78 defending, stop him joining the 80 plus club, but all his other stats are above 85 with 89 shooting, 88 passing and 89 physical in there.
Oof.
So he's going to remain very expensive, I suspect, and be probably the best box-to-box midfielder in the Prem.
A couple of nice silvers as well, isn't there?
A couple of nice silvers. Well, having spoken about a terrible striker, we've got Heffeler, who's a German striker who 74 rated. He's been converted from centre-back. So he's got 61 base, 60 shooting, 60 dribbling, 55 passing, 68 defending and 80 physical. So, I mean, I can't even see him being that good as a centre-back, to be honest. It just looks like a terrible, terrible card. I'm not really sure how he's 74 rated.
Yeah, I guess because he's a striker. Well, I don't know. Even then, that's quite a lot. But Costa, Wolves, Portuguese right midfielder, looks very good. Four-star skills, 86 pace, 80 dribbling and 75 shooting.
And yeah, Stephen Defoe, the Belgian midfielder at Burnley, looks like quite a solid all-round shout. But Ben, I think you wanted to have a closer look at Pedro.
Yeah, so, I mean, this card is a right wing-back, which is pretty unfortunate. Imagine this card as a winger or even a striker. He looks very, very good. So you've got 99 acceleration with Hunter, 89 sprint speed, 99 finishing, 99 positioning, 89 shot power, 86 long shots, 88 volleys, 89 agility just standard on the card, as well as 90 ball control, 89 dribbling, sort of high 80s, balance and reactions, good crossing, 93 short passing as standard, 88 stamina, so he's going to keep going throughout the game. But of course, he is a right back, and that's pretty much useless, to be honest. You're never going to use him there. He just doesn't have good defensive stats. But if you think outside the box, you've got your man, Inform Valencia, who of course is a right mid, but not particularly effective there, and much better as a right back. In fact, probably one of the best Premier League right backs. And he comes in around 60k. The Pedro will be very, very cheap. In fact, he's already 43k. So what you could do is just put Pedro right back, put Valencia right mid, and swap him in game. And actually, you could switch to a different formation, obviously, if you're into kind of switching up your team at the start of the game. So I think he's certainly a card that could be used, and maybe that explains why he's not kind of discard already.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really, really good shout, actually, because then you can get one of the best right wing players in the Premier League and one of the best right backs in the Premier League for about maybe 100k combined.
Yeah.
Whereas normally you'd have to pay several hundred k to get cards of that caliber.
Yeah.
So, informed impression this week coming from you, Ben.
Yeah, it's a player who's Congolese, and they play in the north of England, and it's not a member. it's Yannick Bolasie. He is a player who's, I mean, he's, the Inform card's obviously been out for quite a while, but we haven't really got around to talking about him in detail, although we've probably alluded to the fact that we're quite big fans. We both have him and have used him quite a lot. I've definitely used him for, I think, over 150 games now in various positions, mainly left mid and a bit in left wing. I've used him left forward as well, but I don't think his shooting stats quite work as sort of a more striker-type player.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I've used him left forward and left wing. And at left forward, he just kind of got a bit stuck, didn't get involved as much. I think he just needed the space to work. And putting him out wide really, really helps him out.
Yeah, he's got solid stamina as well, 84. And he's one of those players who can get up and down. He's very good at carrying the ball at distance, which when you're playing him left mid, so they're playing left mid a lot in a 4-2-3-1-2. So that was really effective driving forward. Obviously, 5-star skills and 4-star weak foot, which is really effective. I don't think I've used anyone who does the McGeady spin quite as effectively.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
The strength, solid balance as well, really, really helps. He's obviously got 88 agility, which is really good. Finishing is 70, which, as we were saying, is a bit disappointing. But when you put Sniper or
Deadeye
on him, I think I've been using Deadeye at the moment to boost his passing. Those stats are perfectly serviceable. And he's one of those players that really benefits from being an ultimate team. The fact that you can boost those stats, that passing stat, that finishing stat, you know, he's becomes a really good all-round player.
Yeah, kind of his base card is an excellent ball carrier, but can't really do anything with it. Whereas you can use Deadeye to improve his kicking.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. You know, we're talking about a footballer that's not so good at kicking compared with everything else, but
yeah,
that's just what he's about. He's also got decent aggression at 79-80, which is pretty helpful. He feels like he can push through people and kind of hustle.
Yeah, so definitely one that I'd recommend. And what sort of price are we looking at the moment?
So at the moment we're looking at about 70k, which is a lot compared with, I think when we both bought him, it was around 46, wasn't he?
Yeah,
something like that. So it's a big rise, but I think, to be honest, he's probably worth it. If you like a skill move, you want someone who can carry the ball forward and kind of threaten. And he's great as a sub as well, so I think he's worth it at that price still.
And probably quite a safe card to get as well, in terms of he's unlikely to get another inform because he's done his ACL.
Yeah,
exactly. So he's very much out injured, probably for the rest of the season.
Mm.
Let's move on then to Player of the Week, who is sort of a throwback to Dynamite discards. It's the card that you can currently pick up for, according to Footbin, 850 coins on Xbox or just over a K on PlayStation. He's huge. He's Belgian. He plays for Man U. It's Marouane Fellaini.
Just loving the Manchester United players at the moment.
Yeah, I've had like three in every squad I've built recently. But I've been using him as a central midfielder, the central midfielder in a 4-3-1-2. Behind third in form Ericsson, who I may talk about next week or so. And I've been using him with Engine chem style, and he's been absolutely phenomenal for me. I just picked him up with Engine. I just wanted the cheapest one. I just needed him kind of for chemistry.
Mm.
But I've been so, so impressed. And actually looking at his stats with Engine, I can kind of see why.
Mm.
He gets 64 acceleration, 60 sprint speed, which is serviceable. And then where he really shines is his physicality. He's got 86 stamina, so he doesn't really get tired. He's got 92 strength, 94 aggression. So he just feels incredibly strong in the ball. He barges people off, kind of, almost doesn't barge them. He kind of eases them off the ball. he's got 80 standing tackle, which is perfectly good enough. And that really works. Like people, I had a message from a guy after a game, just saying, like, Fellaini, what the fuck? How's he so good?
Because on the ball, he's actually really solid with Engin, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his agility and balance are terrible, but he has 87 ball control, 84 dribbling, and 85 reactions with it. 79 vision and 87 short passing, which is more than enough. And actually not bad shooting. I mean, obviously, his best games for Everton, at least, he was playing almost as a centre forward.
Yeah.
And obviously, it goes without saying, he's brilliant in the air.
Yeah.
So I've just found him a really, really solid player. And his work rate's a medium-medium. But because of his low pace, that means he just doesn't really go wandering.
Yeah,
he does just sit there.
Kind of can't really get far.
So, I mean, I'd been considering trying him out in the past, but I was kind of put off by the lack of pace and maybe the clunkiness. But I think he's definitely one worth trying. And I'm almost tempted to pick up his Ultimate Scream card, because it is a +2 overall rating, which not many of those cards got.
Yeah, and some decent in-game boosts, aren't there?
Some significant in-game boosts. But yeah, I mean, a bit of a surprise package, but a really, really solid card.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting Manchester United's Beanpole to rear his head, his very hairy head, in this podcast. But before we finish off, I think we've come to the end. Just a reminder that you can subscribe to the Foot Weekly podcast on various podcasting platforms, iTunes, the Android app, also Acast now. You just search Foot Weekly, and I think we're the first to come up on all of those. And if you're wanting to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter at Foot Weekly Pod, and you can email us if you don't have Twitter, footweekly@mail.com.
Yeah. So that wraps us up for this week. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.